Well, it is good to be back in God's house. We missed you guys last week. First off, I want to say thanks for praying for Kim and I. Thanks for probably praying for Kim more than I, because she had to deal with me locked in a house for over a week. Some things are a burden and some are a challenge. I understand that, and boy, she fought through that. But thank you for praying for us. Just continue to pray. We got back from Mission Fuge, and well, we brought some stuff back with us. Oh my goodness! But continue to pray for much of the mission team. We still have some folks that are out. They're still locked in their house under quarantine jail, but be praying for them. Nothing serious. Just a lot of folks just not feeling the best and stuff. So continue to pray. But thank you for praying for Kim and I. I started feeling much, much better middle of the week. And then we said, hey, we're just going to be safe. And we were tested again yesterday, and we were negative. So we're doing good. Thank you for your prayers and everything. But continue to pray for those that are, we got a lot of folks out traveling. We got a lot of folks that are still kind of fighting this stuff going around. So continue to pray for that. We're not having Kids Rock today because we got so many folks that are out traveling and all. So, but again, hey, thankful for you. Thankful for your prayers and everything. I know everyone has slept a few nights since the last time I preached. Me too. And I started a study a few weeks back called Choices, and God laid on my heart, and I preached the kind of the first part of the sermon a few weeks back. And if you remember, we looked at Joshua and his choice, him making a choice to serve God. Well, God has kind of been building in me this thing as I've been studying, and you know what? We're on part two of it now. We're going to look at something on choices and. But I want to read the passage. It's going to be Luke chapter 17. It's going to be a familiar passage for everyone, I'm sure. But I want to read it. Then we're going to kind of walk through it just a little bit, a little different. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, 11 through 19. You'll remember the story of the 10 leopards. And we're going to kind of set it up, but understand this. We know that Luke was the writer of Luke, hence his name. Luke was a partner in ministry with Paul. Many, many folks believe that Luke wrote the book of Luke under the leadership of Paul. One of the cool things about Luke is this. Luke, which was a doctor, he wrote with different perspectives than the other Gospels. But the really cool thing about Luke, you will notice as he wrote the book, he addressed this over and over and over, that the gospel was for everybody, your status, your position in society, who you are, who you might not be, has nothing to do with God's love for you and the gospel that's being offered. That there's not Greek or Gentile, there's not haves and have-nots, we're all on equal ground. And Luke kind of hits on that. If you notice, a lot of Luke's stories throughout that he's writing about, it deals with the left outs, the undesirables, and those folks. And so it's really cool to understand that as we read through this passage here today. Now, we a few weeks ago, we said, choices, choose God. Joshua chose this day who he's going to serve. Well, here's another one. Choose to be grateful. Choose to be thankful. Just kind of give you a wrap up of the sermon at the beginning. You ready? That don't mean you get up and leave. Here you go. Being grateful, being thankful is not just a feeling, but a choice that comes from understanding what God has done for us. It's not a feeling. It's not like I feel grateful today. It is a choice of being grateful. Understanding what God has done for us today. So let's read this passage, and then we're going to kind of jump into this. I might need a little help in a little bit, but you'll see. Here we go. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." So here's my question. What are some things that we're thankful for or that you're thankful for? This is the time that, hey, you get to participate in a sermon. Yes. So what are some things you're thankful for? I'm going to tell you one right now. For a church family that prays for us when we need prayer. I'm thankful for that. What are some things you're thankful for? Freedom. Our freedom. We not only have freedom to be here and worship, but we can have freedom to worship freely in Christ. All right, what else? Something we're thankful for? For friends. Absolutely. All right, what are some others? I want to hear from the young ones out here. I'm going to put you on the spot. What are you thankful for? For what? Food? You can tell I like it too, can't you? Yes, yes. There's nothing better than a good buffet line. Just let me in front. Yes. All right, what else are some things we're thankful for? For life? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Come on. For family? Yes, yes. That's one thing that's been hard these last 2 weeks. Kim and I, we did it right. We locked ourselves in the house. She was stuck with me. I was blessed with her. But one of the hardest things was for 2 weeks we couldn't see our grandkids. That was kind of hard. I'm used to them coming over almost every weekend and hanging out with Big Daddy and Cookie and getting in the pool and having them climb all over you. That was kind of hard. I miss my family during that time. What else is something we're thankful for? Health? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Anyone else? Our mental health. Yes. Yes. All right. Well, where's one thing that we can all be thankful for that we overlook, and that's small things that we take for granted? What are things, you know, think about it, things that we take for granted. I've come across this little video. You're going to think, oh, how silly. Give it a chance and listen to it and watch it as it goes. It's a very short video, just a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. But from the child, think what we can learn.
I have something for you.
What is it?
Open it. I get to open it. Something very special. Pull on this right here. Pull this one, yeah.
Thank you, Mama.
What are you going to do with it?
Being grateful, being thankful, is a choice. Is a choice. I don't know. You know, I sometimes, you know, working with teenagers for so long, you get to see all things of what teenagers go through the years. You get to see it. But I'm going to ask you this. You may have been there. You may have experienced this. I think we all have to some extent. Have you ever been left out, overlooked, ignored, felt like you were cast out, that you were just not giving the opportunity that maybe you thought you had, that people just kind of ignored. Even this, when it comes to things that I probably should be left out of and ignored because I'm really terrible at it, like Kim likes playing a game called Scrabble, I'm terrible at it because I spell the way I talk, which is Cajunese, and none of my words are ever in the Scrabble dictionary. So when teams are picked for Scrabble, I'm never picked. But you know, it still kind of hurts because I want to be picked, even if I know I'm probably going to be a anchor for that team, you know, really draw the intellectual spelling ability down low. I understand that. When I was in seminary and had to write all these papers, that's why Kim had to proof every single one of them and change the language from Cajunese to English, because nobody could understand what I was trying to say, but I understood every bit of it. But even when I probably should be left out and not picked for a team, it kind of hurts. I want to be picked. I'm convinced of this. Every single one of us, God has created us to want to be a part of something, to want to be accepted, to want to be included. We all want that. And no matter what we say to ourselves, it can hurt. It can be painful. It can make you mad, kind of thing. I remember this as a kid growing up. You can't do it anymore, so you change names. But we used to do dodgeball in school. Yes, really, dodgeball. And I know you have to be careful with that now. But I remember this. On whoever the captains were of the teams, they picked their friends first. And if you were not one of their friends, you were sitting there going, I just don't want to be last. I don't want to be the person who goes, well, you're the last one, so you got to go to that team. You know, you don't like that feeling and all, but we've all been there to some extent. It never feels good to be left out or put out or overlooked. Now, back in Bible times during Jesus, there were certain diseases that would happen to you, that you would be cast out and you'd be put out. Lepers knew what it was like to be the outcast, to be overlooked, to be ignored. They had it happen to them over and over and all the time. Now, a leper who had the disease of leprosy, it was a very, very contagious disease that back in the times of the Bible was a very, very big deal. Someone with it, it was awful looking because their skin was just, everything could happen to skin from being dried out to being open sores. It looked bad, and I'm sure it felt much worse than what it even looked. But it was very contagious at the time. If you had leprosy, you were put out of your house. You were put out of your community. You had to live outside of the city walls under quarantine. We heard that before, but they were truly quarantined now, even outside of their family. Since there was no cure for the disease at that time, now we have it now, there's a disease. This quarantine would last forever. It was a lifelong sentence. You never got to go back to your house. You never got to see your family. You never got to have a normal life again. You were truly an outcast. You know, everyone looked down upon those with leprosy because in their mind, it was a disease that could not be cured. And being that it was so contagious, everybody avoided them with everything that they had. No one gave them much of attention except for maybe throwing a few coins by them at the city gate as they kind of walked around them to maybe they could go buy them a hot dog or something, you know, get them a bite to eat or something. But they would be at the gates trying. And here's what they would have to do. When someone that did not know them or wasn't aware of the situation got too close, they were required to yell, unclean, unclean, unclean. They were required to do it so that anyone that was getting too close knows that I'm too close. I better back up. I better go another route. I need to go this way, or I need to go that way. I need to avoid what's going on. So if anyone got close to them that didn't know it, they would hear the word unclean, 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 and they would back up to avoid the situation. Now we're going to look at a few verses that we just read. We're going to walk through it. That tells us the story of a guy who chose to be grateful when everyone else chose to snub him, when everyone else chose to turn their back on him. We're going to look at a guy that made a choice to be thankful when there seemed that there was nothing in his life for him to be thankful for. We can look at this grateful guy, this story, and we're going to walk through it in Luke chapter 17. Now, I want you to see this. There are just three easy points from this passage. I'm going to read through it again, just a few verses at a time, and pick up some things. On verses 11 through 13, it says this. On the way to Jerusalem, now understand, much of Luke's writing was about Jesus heading towards Jerusalem for his end of his life. It's the stories of what's happening. So this is a continuation with Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here's what I want you to see. First off, it was apparent they knew who Jesus was. Their story changed. They were not yelling, unclean, unclean, unclean. They were saying, Jesus, Master. There's no doubt they probably had heard all the stories of Jesus and all the stories of him healing people. And just them knowing of who Jesus was and that he was God's son, they called him Master, which meant God among us, God walking by us. They knew that if there was hope, this was their hope that was coming before them. Instead of yelling unclean, they recognize who was in their presence. So here's what I want you to see. Choosing to be grateful is knowing the source of our help. It is knowing Jesus Christ himself in a personal way in our life. It's not knowing about Jesus. It's not knowing about God. It is knowing. I kind of use it this way. You ready for this? I moved from South Louisiana to the big city of Memphis, Tennessee. You're talking about someone that didn't fit in. I didn't fit in. I mean, Kim had to, when she met me, she had to change everything. She's like, you can't wear that. So I moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And funny thing, we're going to church at a church that my dad was going to seminary. We're going to a church. I didn't know anybody at this church. We're driving across the parking lot to try to find a parking place. And there's this redheaded girl walking across. And my dad goes, Robbie, that girl's cute. I go, uh-huh. Well, here's what's funny. You ready? I go to Sunday school. She's in my Sunday school class. I meet the school principal that was actually his wife taught Sunday school. I met, and all of a sudden I go to school. She's in my class at school. Well, over time, I knew who Kim was. Oh, I got to know her. I even knew her last name. I found out where she lived. But I tell you what, after I married her, oh my goodness, I got to know her then. There's a different knowing about and knowing. These lepers began to know who God and who Jesus was, not just knowing about. And for us, choosing to be grateful is knowing the source of our help. That is knowing Jesus in a personal way. It was not uncommon for people who were outcasts to band together. And so these 10 guys were all together. They see a chance for them to be helped. They see Jesus coming, and they start yelling out to him. These guys saw that Jesus, God in the flesh, was the source of their help coming their way. Like most people, you know, it makes you wonder, what if Jesus would have done like everybody else and kind of avoided them, walked away from them? What if Jesus would have been like everyone else when he heard their cries for help? He walked away. But you know, God's not that way. Jesus answered their cry for help. When this passage says that, it says, Master, have mercy on us. Here, let me give you a, your translation may say this. I think it gives us a better picture. They're saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on me, is what they're saying. Okay? Here's what they're saying. Jesus, would you please show compassion on us? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He turned to them and he had compassion. He chose to hear them and hear their cries for mercy. Think of our life. Think of your life. The time that Jesus turned to you and his power and his strength was encouragement and helped you. His grace has forgiven us. His love has secured us, all because of his love and compassion for us, just like he had for them. Jesus is the source from which our gratefulness should come. It is because of what he has done for us on the cross that we can turn to him and be thankful. Choosing to be grateful is knowing the source of our help. Now, as we move on, I want you to see something else. It's not just knowing the source of our help to be grateful. Starting in verse 14 through 16, says this. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. You see, Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest so that they would be ceremonial clean. Here was it. Basically, Jesus said, you need to go to the priest. And basically, it's this. God healed them. Show yourself to the priest so you can get a clean bill of health, so you can get a health certificate, so to speak, so they could re-enter into their life, their family, and all. It's like a certificate of health that they were going to the priest to get. The Bible says that as they went, they were healed. Once they had made the decision to go, to be obedient to what God told them to do, they were healed. Obedience was an act of their faith. It was putting feet in action to their faith. You see, the second thing I want you to see, that choosing to be grateful is a response from us. They had to respond to Jesus. Jesus could have healed them on the spot. He had healed people on the spot just a few chapters before. You can see where Jesus had healed some people. But here's what he's wanting. He's wanting obedience and faith out of us. He's wanting us to respond to him. The 10 lepers had to hear Jesus and had to respond and be obedient. They had to make a choice between just listening and then keep doing what they always done, or listening and doing and responding to Jesus. Being grateful is a response to what someone has done for us. You can be truly grateful for something, or you can just be happy that it's happened. However, being truly grateful means that you have an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude toward the source of the gift. It takes a response. The 10 lepers made a choice to trust in Jesus' instructions. All 10 of them responded. And their response healed them. But only one came back to thank Jesus, to worship him. Only one was truly grateful. It's easy for us to judge the other nine who did not come back. It's really easy. Is it not going, what's wrong with them? Did they not appreciate what God had done for them? Were they not really thankful? Were they not? But isn't it really easy for us sometimes to receive an incredible gift and just take it and go and never really show appreciation and thankfulness for it? It is. We all get caught that way at times. We don't know why the other nine did not come back, but we know that the one guy who did knew where his healing come from. He knew where his help come from, and he sought out to thank Jesus, the source of his healing. Look at the things that you have in life. Even if you don't think you have much, we have much. It makes me think about this. You know, God has blessed me and several teams, and Kim, we've been able to do several mission trips through the years. One of the things of gratefulness and thankfulness that stands out to me in my mind over and over and over is this. One of the things that the pastor that we worked with, the church in Nicaragua, he was huge on going door to door. Now, the door to door we would go to, it wasn't just cold calling. His church members would let someone know weeks in advance that, hey, we got some Americans coming that are going to come up and they want to come and talk to you at your house. So they knew that sometime during that week, somebody would be coming. And we would go to their house with a team from the church, you know, three or four people from the church, and have a translator and all that. And we'd go to the houses, and most of the time it was so hot. You know, they don't have air conditioning. Very few of them even had utilities with electricity and stuff. So we would talk with them outside, and we would share with them. We would kind of eventually get to the point of understanding why the church members wanted us to visit them. Was it to share the gospel? Was it to pray with them over something that was going on in their life? Are they falling out of church? Was it to reach? But we'd give them an opportunity to respond, and God had always blessed. It was always a lot of great times of responses. But if they didn't respond, my thing was this. I would always say, well, thank you so much for letting us come and share with you. Can we pray for you and your family? Never once will we say, no, you can't pray for us. It never happened. And they would say yes. And this happened more than once. This is what taught me what true gratefulness is. Okay? We had it happen more than once. And when the first time it happened, I was like, what just happened? Okay. I said, can I pray for you? Yes. And they would just disappear. They would shut their door. We'd be outside. They'd say yes, and they would be gone. Door shut. I'm going, they said yes, but they disappeared. What's going on? And the members would, just wait. The members of the church are trans, just wait. We'd sit in there, we'd wait. Finally, the door was open, and they would ask us to come in. They would want us to go stand in the middle of their house to pray for them. They didn't want us outside. They wanted us in the middle of their house for us to circle around them and pray. And they would tell us what they would was on their hearts they wanted us to pray about. So I asked, I said, why they shut the door and disappear? Understand, the houses were cinder block with tin roofs on them. The windows had no windows in them. They were just curtains maybe hanging up. The doors were most of the time just your 10 doors that would kind of put the floors were dirt. You know what they would go do before we entered their house? They went and swept the dirt floors before we walked in. And I said, you know, they're grateful that they have a house that we can go in and pray with them. Why can't we be grateful for all the small things? God has blessed us. And look at what they're grateful for. They're in there sweeping a dirt floor so that we could have a clean dirt floor to go stand on and pray with them. Taught me some things of what it meant to be grateful and be thankful. So we may not think we have a lot to be grateful and thankful for, but I assure you, take just a moment, think through. I assure you, you've got lots to be grateful and thankful for, the least of which Christ dying on the cross to give every one of us a hope and a future in Him. We can choose to be happy that we're saved, or we can choose to be truly grateful and live a life with a thankful heart to Jesus who died on the cross for us. Number three, the last part of this passage, is this, verses 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Choosing to be grateful is a walk of faith. Even when we don't feel it, it's a walk of faith to be thankful. Even when we don't think or don't feel like we need to be grateful or we should be, being grateful is a walk of faith. If you look back at verse 16, you makes you wonder. This is where I wanted to say, I told you that Luke wrote a lot about the unders and the cast outs and those that were pushed aside and a lot of the have-nots. Verse 16 said he was a Samaritan. You go, what does that mean? He was on his way to Jerusalem. This was a Samaritan. It's a big deal. He come back to be thankful. In the Jewish community, they despised and they hated these Samaritans. They viewed Samaritans as half-breeds. They did not respect them. They didn't love them by any stretch of the imagination. They really hated them. But yet, in the middle of that, he chose to go back and be thankful and grateful to God for what God has done for him. So yes, it was a big deal that this one went back. It would have been so easy for him to go, "I don't need to go back there. They don't like me. They don't want me around. I'm not like them." But he chose to go back. So yes, it was a big deal that he did go back. It will be easy for us to scoff at the ones who didn't come back, to think that if Jesus did something like that for me, I wouldn't snub Jesus. But the truth is, we do this all the time. As a student, when you make the dean's list, do you automatically thank God, or do you think you deserve that dean's list because you studied hard? Or you get the big raise on your job, do you thank God, or do you think you deserved it because you worked so hard? Or you get the big promotion, do you thank God for your abilities and opportunities, or do you think we deserved it because of our dedication to the company? Choosing to be grateful is choosing to have faith. It is choosing to know the source and to respond to our faith is what being grateful is. It's not saying that we don't work hard or that we're not dedicated. It's saying, know where our blessings truly come from. Know where they come from. You see, gratefulness is a lifestyle attitude. It is something that we put on every single day, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, Paul's writing this verse because he had learned that he had to be thankful in everything that was going on, and think about it. Paul had a whole lot of stuff going on that was not pleasant, whether he was in jail or shipwrecked, whatever it may be. He said, be thankful in all things. It's easy to be thankful when times are good, when we get what we needed or we think we need or what we want. But being thankful, being grateful, is choosing to have an attitude when maybe we don't get what we think we want or need. Being grateful is choosing to walk in faith with Jesus, leaving your life to him to give you what he needs. You see, being grateful, the key truth is, being grateful is not just a feeling, but a choice that comes from understanding what God has done for us. So if you walk out of here and you forget everything that was mentioned, here's the one thing I want you to walk out of here with. I always call it a big idea. Here's the big idea. You can choose to be grateful in any situation if you choose to trust in Jesus, and every one of us can trust Him today. I don't know if you've given your heart to Jesus. I pray every one of you have and have given your heart and life to Him. But because of what He did on the cross, we can be thankful every single day. It is a choice of getting up every day saying, I'm going to be thankful, for God is good. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, and it's admitting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again, giving us hope and committing our life to Him. It is simply you're doing that in your heart to God. That is the greatest thing that we all can be thankful for today. The greatest thing. So as we go from here, I want to challenge you with this. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you about it. Or if it's something you've done and you just want to walk through that, I'd love to do that. But you know what? For many of us, it's saying, you know what? I'm going to put a smile on my face and let the world know that I'm grateful and I'm thankful for God, who is good to me all the time. That's the greatest testimony we can have, for someone to look at you and goes, you know what? I see something different about them. And it's because we're grateful to God and His goodness. So maybe that is something we just need to commit to individually. So as we close, we're going to close with a song. And I'm just going to be down here for just a moment. But if you have any questions about what it means to give your heart to Jesus, I'd love to pray with you and talk with you through that. And when we start singing, if you want to pray, you can pray where you are. If you want to come up here and just pray, say, hey, God, I want to be every day reflecting of your goodness and your greatness with my attitude of being thankful to you. Because that is something we have to do every day. Because it's easy to look around us and get depressed and think everything's falling apart, everything is collapsing, nothing is right. It's easy to see that. But let me just tell you, it's not. God is in control. God is still good. God is still faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Father, that we've got so much to be grateful and thankful for. I thank you, Father, that it all begins with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, to give us a hope and give us a future, Father. And I just pray, Father, that every one of us, if we've not given our heart to you, that we would do that, Father. And if we have, that we just make a commitment of being grateful and thankful to you in our life every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me.
Thank you for being here today. Let me just encourage you, if you have any questions about your faith, what it means to be solely given to Jesus, I'd love to pray and talk with you about it. Otherwise, find someone in here that you know that's a faithful follower of Christ and share with them. We got lots of folks in here that loves Jesus and would love to share with you more about him. All right? Anything? Anybody have anything before we pray and we head out? All right. I'm going to ask you to do this. Pray for me. I added it up the other day. I have been to 28 youth camps through the years. I have never been to a kids camp in my life. I don't know what to do. Be praying for me, please. All right? All right, here we go. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, that you love us. And Father, you have compassion upon us. You have pity on us. We thank you so much that for that. We just pray, Father, as we go from here, that we always remember, Father, through Jesus Christ, we got so much to be grateful for, Father. And just bless each family, let them have a great rest of the day. And pray you bless this week as the children are going to Centra Kid, that, Father, you just be there teaching them your word. In Christ's name, amen.